Hello and welcome to podcast number 2 of the Gorilla Season Book Blog Project. My name is Eric Langhorst. I'm an 8th grade American history teacher at South Valley Junior High in Liberty, Missouri. This is our second interview with Pat Hughes, the author of Gorilla Season. And today we're going to find out a little bit about a mistake that she almost made that she caught before it went to press, a little bit about how she names her characters in her books, and then also a little bit about the writing process that Pat undergoes before she writes a book. So this again is with the Gorilla Season Book Blog Project. You can join us online at www.gorillaseason.blogspot.com, and Gorilla Season is spelled GURRILLASEASON. And again, we're reading this book between the dates of October 23rd and November 19th, 2006. Come ahead and join us. You can also send an email to us at bookblogproject@gmail.com. So here's part 2 of the interview with Pat Hughes, author of Gorilla Season.
Pat, I know that the process of writing a book must be incredibly painstaking as far as making sure that everything is accurate. How do you make sure that everything is accurate in something like an historical novel like Gorilla Season?
Well, you try your hardest, and there's, you know, obviously many safeguards, like I was talking to you about double-checking and cross-checking and all the research that goes into it, but there's always something that's going to slip through the cracks. And, you know, at my publisher, we have excellent copy editors, excellent proofreaders. You have so many different people backing you up and checking you. But there's always that opportunity for a mistake. And I'll tell you about the biggest mistake that I almost made and how I caught it. And it was sheer luck. And I'm so glad that I did catch it, because it would have been kind of embarrassing. Now, I don't even know how many people these days would have caught it, but I had prairie dogs in Missouri. Because I figured, I didn't even think to check it, because I figured Missouri's got prairie.
Great Plains and...
got prairie dogs, yeah. Right? So I had, like, prairie dogs popping their heads up and, you know, in the prairie in one scene. And it wasn't until the book was well on its way into production that I happened to be reading Mark Twain's book, Roughing It. And he's talking about going west, and of course Mark Twain is a Missouri boy, but he's talking about leaving Missouri and going west, and he talks, you know, says something about, I think he's in Nebraska, and he says something about, we saw our first prairie dog villages. And, of course, the alarm bells just, you know, started ringing. And the other weird thing was that I had, I remembered at one point reading an article in Missouri Conservationist about people who kept prairie dogs as pets in Missouri. And so, you know, I just, oh, of course, you know, they had prairie dogs, so people kept them as pets. And this is in present day. So, you know, all these alarm bells are going off, and I'm, you know, panicking. And, I think I started looking around on the internet, and I couldn't get any, definitive answers. It seemed to have to do with short grass prairie, tall grass prairie. So I emailed somebody at Missouri Conservationist, and he referred me to somebody else because he didn't quite know the answer. Long story short, you know, eventually the answer came, no, there were no prairie dogs on the Missouri prairie. So, you know, I had to call my editor and say, we got to change this. We have to take it out. And I don't remember if I substituted anything, but that was a mistake I was very happy to have caught.
What about naming your characters? I mean, obviously, when you write a book like this, you've got a lot of names you have to come up with. How do you do that? Is there some technique that you use or something special that you do to try and come up with creative names?
Well, it's something, you know, some characters, you just sort of know their names right from the start, and I don't really, that is a process I can't really explain, because it's just either name you love, or for some reason that you know the character has to have that name. Sometimes I will use a baby name book. In fact, I've had a baby name book hanging around my house, and friends have come in and said, like, oh, are you expecting? No, I'm just, few characters in the new book, you know. And so I will go through that, those kinds of, you know, things over and over. And sometimes in historical fiction, I'll go through old, you know, old letters, genealogies to get ideas. And with Gorilla Season, I had a really hard time naming the character of Clayton. I spent many, many pages of the book just leaving a blank where every time I wanted to refer to Clayton because I didn't have a name for him, and it was really important for me to get the right name because mm-hmm. he's an important character to me. And then eventually it just came to me, and then it was like, of course, he can't possibly have any other name, and it was, you know, the connection that I could say that his dad named him for the counties, Clay counties, Clayton, and it just all fell together. And I was glad that I waited. And then sometimes it's a more of a throwaway thing with a minor character, and you might be halfway through the book and you're kind of sick of naming minor characters. And I often write in spiral notebooks. I always write in longhand. And I often will write in spiral notebooks before I put it onto the computer. And I was trying to name the minor characters in Gorilla Season, and I was getting very frustrated because I couldn't come up with anything. And I turned to the front page of the spiral notebook, and it was from the Mead Paper Company, and they made in Dayton, Ohio. And I said, oh, that's it, Mr. Mead and Mr. Dayton. So it really runs the gamut for, you know, sometimes I go to the phone book and, you know, look for names. If it's a last name, there's just all kinds of little tricks.
Now, it's interesting you said that you write it in longhand first and then you transfer it over to the computer.
Right.
And I've heard that several times, especially with authors that write historical works.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like there's some connection? You have more of a connection if you write it by hand? Or, I mean, it seems like it'd be easier if you just typed it on the computer if you're going to transfer it to the computer later.
Yeah, it's more of an organic process to me when I write it. I mean, it actually feels more like writing to me when I actually write it out, you know. And I sit in my breakfast room and I look out the window and my bird feet are out here, and it just feels like more of a, to me it feels more like writing than just, you know, sitting coldly in front of the computer, which is not to say that I don't love the, you know, because I can remember, you know, I go back to the days of writing on an IBM Selectric when, you know, every change you made, you had to take the little piece of correct type paper and, you know, put it in there. And if you wanted to change a scene or, you know, add or take something out, I mean, it was just a nightmare. And, and you know, I think the computer is just wonderful for that, just constantly making changes and getting it better and better. But for the first draft, I almost always write it out first.
Well, there you have part two of the interview with the author of Gorilla Season, Pat Hughes. And as always, you can join us at speakingofhistory.blogspot.com for more information about what's happening at South Valley Junior High in my 8th grade American History classroom. This has been Eric Langhorst for Speaking of History. We'll talk to you later. Bye.